Good morning. This is Ken Lipp, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer on County Connections. I'm here with Commissioner Casey Miller. How are you doing this morning, Casey?
Good morning, Ken. Doing well. Good to be with you today in the Spangler Studios to talk about, I guess, a roundtable today of various topics coming through the commissioner's office and things that are happening in our community. So, pleasure to be here with you, and good morning.
I think I'm going to launch us in our first topic, which is going to be the county commissioner's recent drought declaration and just generally the state of the county's water resources. On August 2nd, during the August 2nd meeting of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners, the commissioners declared a drought. The drought declaration doesn't actually involve necessarily any practical changes. It doesn't impose any kind of water curtailments. Mm-hmm. It's in one way, an advisory, an awareness tool for residents to think about how they're using water. And it also opens up the possibility of pulling in state resources. Along with this drought declaration was a request to Governor Tina Kotek for her to declare a drought for Lincoln County as well. And I can give a little bit of an idea of why the commissioners declared a drought. Was largely based on the state of the Siletz River, which as of July 23rd was flowing at 83 cubic feet per second there at Hihi Ilahi, where the gauge is, which is 46% of average for that date. So that was 83 cubic feet per second on July 23rd, and I'm looking at the gauge right now, and it is closer to 50 cubic feet per second.
Yeah, Ken, and you and I drifted the Siletz spring, and I bring this up just kind of as a practical measurement of what those water levels look like. And I know you had mentioned to me that last you had looked, you know, it's so significantly low, and now we look at these numbers, and I mean, this is really, really low compared to historical measurements at this time of the year. So, you know, it's a concern, right? I mean, this is the community's water source, and we've been talking about climate change, and I think these are the results. So, really, this drought declaration, which Katie Jacobson has been on a drought committee for several years now, it does give us these practical tools should we need them. And I would anticipate, I don't want to sound too much of an alarm here, but with the trajectory as it's going, I mean, we really are going to ask people to really think about their water use.
Yes, and to go along with the drought declaration, the Midcoast Water Conservation Consortium, which is a consortium of lots and lots of the local water providers, the utilities, Seal Rock Water, Newport Water, all those, they put out a press release as of yesterday that makes people aware of the commissioner's drought declarations and the low stream flows. And it has some recommendations for the Lincoln County community. Among those are restricting irrigation to the evening hours or early mornings, minimizing or avoiding altogether washing cars and boats, minimize or avoid washing outdoor surfaces like pavement and decks. If you're going to use sprinklers and irrigate, when you position them, make sure they're actually watering plants and not pavement. Cut back on lawn watering just to once a week if you're going to do it. Delay draining or filling your pools or hot tubs. Fixing indoor leaks, and that's a big piece. Check with your water provider about the availability of free water conservation items. A lot of times utilities will help pay for or subsidize things like low-flow toilets. Run the dishwasher and washing machine with full loads only. This is something I've been reading about recently, is that, you know, a lot of people, they want to just wash. Like, hey, I don't have any clean underwear, so I'm just going to do a few pairs of underwear. Well, just go ahead and when you're going to run the laundry, make sure you do a full load, and that really minimizes water use. And then minimize your shower time is the last of those recommendations. None of these have been implemented as requirements at this point. They're just asking people to do this. And just generally, just be aware of how much water you're using.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in my neighborhood, we have a surface water collection system. And while we haven't ever been in extreme measures, our water is significantly down as well, too. So we take some of these similar measures just within the 19 houses in our community. And I think it's something that we might anticipate we'll see in future years to do earlier. So it's really a good thing. These recommendations are things to really start thinking about. And, you know, be mindful. watering at night is huge. And to your point, Ken, on the leaks, we've seen this, our, you know, in our neighborhood, that a small leak, it's just incrementally can really, really waste a lot of water. So it's something to be mindful of. And you can find providers to help you find those leaks too, if you need to. It's not quite as hard as you might think. And, you know, watch that water bill. It's really time to buckle down and conserve.
Yes, yes, indeed. We've got another topic that's water related that we're going to be moving on to soon. It's about time for us to take a break, so I'm going to do that, and we will be back with you in just a few moments. Hello, everyone. This is Ken Lipp, Public Information Officer for Lincoln County, back on County Connections with County Commissioner Casey Miller. Hey, Casey, welcome back from the break with me.
Thank you, Ken. Good morning, everyone. Yes, good to be here. And yeah, I want to talk about aerial spray. The
right.
phone has been ringing.
Yes, and the email has been pinging mm-hmm. about aerial spraying. Now, this specifically relates to some planned spraying in the area of Beaver Creek, South Beaver Creek. I'm going to let Casey Miller kind of give an overview of it because he's got the report in front of him.
Yeah, I think it's good to know that when you think about the county commissioner's office, you know, a feel for us in regard to what's happening in the community really is a feel for the kind of correspondence we receive in the office. The phone will ring, people have inquiries, we receive emails, and of course you're welcome to email the county commissioners. Ken, I would like to say with boc@co.lincoln.or.us, that is just a general email. If you have concerns about anything in our community, that you can email the commissioner's office, and that gets distributed to all of the commissioners. That's one of the best ways for us to track this information. And aerial spraying is something that we've been receiving correspondence in regard to, specifically in the Beaver Creek area. And Ken, you've pulled this NOAP. This is a notification of operations permit that tells us what that spray operation looks like. Now, what are the concerns from the community mean? How is this framed? Well, if you're thinking about your water quality, if you're thinking about actual aerial spray and how it might affect you, even air quality, if you're adjacent to where these operations, these logging operations are happening, arguably you would be concerned. Now, if we look back in time, remember we passed an ordinance that got challenged in court regard to aerial spray.
And just to clarify, the voters passed an ordinance,
yes.
the ballot measure that became an ordinance in 2017. It relatively
yes.
narrowly passed, but the majority voted to ban aerial spraying of pesticides. That mm. was overturned by Judge Bockart in the local circuit court, and then that ruling was upheld. The basis
yes.
of that overturning of that law is that it was preempted by state law. And that's
yeah.
basically the Oregon Constitution says if there is a state law on something, then local jurisdictions can't pass laws in controversy of that.
Yes. And no small point, right? This was the community's advocacy. This didn't come directly from the commissioners. It started with you and your concerns. So what that really did practically, I think, was it curtailed activity during that period in which it was under litigation. I want to say this is one of the first few aerial spray operations that we've actually seen. There may be more. I mean, we don't have a perfect inventory for you, but this one's arguably a pretty big operation. And so, you know, what we are doing is looking into it. Now, if you want to know what's going on in regard to spray operations, Oregon Department of Forestry has a program called FERNS, and it's a notification system so you can know. Now, I'm not completely certain on what I'm about to say, but I do believe there's a countywide registration in which you can see all types of operations that are happening broadly in Lincoln County and throughout Oregon. And then there is also a different type of registration that just allows you to see spray operations that are near you as a landowner. Is that your read on this too?
So when you sign up for FERNS and you go into the subscription process, there's two different ways you can do it. You can select by county, or you can actually draw a polygon to select the area that you want to monitor. When I registered for a subscription yesterday and subscribed to alerts, I did it for the entire county, because that's the way you can get the broadest area. I can't remember what the limitation is, but if you're just drawing a polygon, it's a relatively small acreage that you're able to monitor.
Yeah. So I guess what I would remind the community is that we do not have any jurisdictional authority over this activity. But, you know, the emails look something like, I'm concerned about my health. Is there anything that you can do? So what we're really doing here is we're, you know, gathering data, and I'm just one commissioner here. There's three commissioners, but I suspect we'll be discussing this, or at least bring it up in our report section of our next county commissioners meeting, you know, and just talk about what we've learned, and talk about, you know, moving forward. And it certainly is bringing the subject back up, and I think it's one that is a legitimate concern. And it's worth having discussion in regard to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, Casey did reach out to the Oregon Department of Forestry yesterday, mm-hmm. And we heard something back from a couple of representatives from ODF, and I'm just going to share with you a little bit of the information they gave to us. One of those is that this kind of activity is regulated under the Oregon Forest Practices Act, and something that was interesting that I did not know is if this aerial spraying occurs and any of the local residents have concerns that the pesticide might have drifted onto their property or is impacting human life or human health or property, then the appropriate contact for that is the Oregon Department of Agriculture.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Important. And I think what we should do, Ken, is maybe we should aggregate some of these resources, you know, into a one sheet so that if you're interested in this issue, we can at least have a singular point of information so that you can follow up and provide further public input in regard to this. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that we can do at this time anyways.
Yes, yes. So you've got the report there in front of you. If I recall correctly, it shows five or six different areas that are going to be subject to spraying. Mm-hmm. Altogether, it's about 450 acres, between 450 and 500 acres. The way that these permits to conduct aerial spraying operations work is they give a 90-day window that it can occur in. This 90-day window, correct me if I'm wrong, Casey, I believe is September 2nd to November 2nd.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yep, so that's it.
So that, you know, it could occur any time during that. It could occur
or
the
November
whole time.
November 30th. I'm sorry.
So okay, so September 2nd through November 30th. Yeah. So
it's a 90-day window.
The specifics of this you can find. I know that the Lincoln Community Rights is sharing an awful lot of information about this, mm-hmm. so that would be a resource for you to find that.
Yeah.
I could also get something posted to the website if that's something that the commissioners would like me to do. You can also just kind of Google for Oregon Department of Forestry spray permits, and that will help you come up with something.
Yeah, and I would note here, you know, a statutory written plan is required for operations within 300 feet of estuarine marine wetlands or not 100 feet as may be shown above. So we can put a link to this information. I think Ken would be useful so folks can see the polygon, you know, so you can get some data on what's happening, and especially I would say for those who are really adjacent to this activity, and then broadly when we think about water quality, you know, it's something that we need to take a look at further. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also the chemicals too, right? You know, some people are more sensitive to chemicals, and that is a concern, especially for those individuals. And then the long-term consequences of things of this nature. So we'll definitely be looking into it.
If you're just joining us, we're on County Connections talking about lots of water issues, the drought declaration, and we've talked about some recent news that some aerial spraying of pesticides operations are going to be occurring relatively soon. That's in the South Beaver Creek area. What else have we got on the slate this morning, Casey?
You know, I'm sorry, Ken, but I can't help but thinking now of water levels being low and what the synergistic implications are when we think about spray at this time too. So I don't know if there's any data out there on that, but from a practical perspective, it would seem to me like activities like this would would be better when there was high water flow.
Right.
Just a thought. So, sorry to derail you there.
No, that's okay. I mean, I think that's a salient point. You would think that, you know, the more water, the more something would be diluted. Yeah. Like if you have a big bucket of water and you put a spoonful of sugar in it, it's probably not going to taste very sweet. If you have a cup of water and put a spoonful of sugar on it, you're probably going to have sweeter tasting water.
Indeed.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with County Connections. Hello, everyone. This is Ken Lipp, your public information officer for Lincoln County, here with County Commissioner Casey Miller on County Connections. We've been talking about water issues, a drought declaration, plans to do aerial spraying of pesticides in the Beaver Creek area. And now we're going to take a little bit of a detour from that subject matter to talk about urban renewal. And Casey, do you want to lead off?
Yeah, we've had the city of Lincoln City approach the county commissioners in regard to urban renewal in the Nelscott area. And this has occurred over several meetings with the county commissioners. City of Lincoln City Urban Renewal Department have brought this proposal to us, and we've been kind of going back and forth, gathering more data. I myself will be next week on Tuesday, we'll be going on a tour with Urban Renewal, Lincoln City Urban Renewal representatives to tour the proposed area. And what I want to talk about is just a couple things, just briefly. One is things that are happening in your community that impact your community. And when we think about urban renewal, from the city of Lincoln City's perspective, part of the incentive is to improve housing, to create jobs. But the consequences of tax increment financing, and I think our county administrator, this is a great example of where he's, you know, brought his expertise into the subject. We look at tax increment financing, and ultimately this has an impact on the county and tax revenue. So
Casey, can I interrupt you just one second? So let's do just a kind of a brief overview and from a non-expert on what urban renewal and tax increment financing is. So with the approval of an urban renewal plan, what that does is it's the amount of property taxes that are being paid within this area that's defined as the urban renewal area. The taxes paid at that point will freeze. So if the property values rise, the amount of taxes paid won't increase for the period of the urban renewal plan. So 30 years, typically, something like that. And that's the term that Casey was just using, tax increment financing.
Yeah,
and
thank you, Ken.
The tax increase amount would still occur, but it would not go to the districts that would normally get it. It goes to this urban renewal district's funds.
Yeah.
And what that does is allows them to take out loans based on expected tax revenue.
Yeah, and it's fascinating, right? This really is how cities develop. I mean, you see the way we go from maybe more of a rural landscape to an urban landscape, and assets, if you will, can be developed that we associate with cities. So, yeah, it's no small issue. I mean, the implications are really great, especially when we look at those windows where things are kind of in flux. And I think we're taking it very seriously from a commissioner's perspective that when, as you say, these taxes get frozen, it's not revenue that's coming into the county. And what exactly is happening in the city, you know, and how will the two sort of balance out over time? So that's coming up at our next commissioner's meeting. I suspect that at this meeting we'll probably make a decision about whether or not we're going to approve this request from the city of Lincoln City. So
now, and you can find these urban renewal districts all over the county. Nelscott's not the first one. There's already one in Lincoln City. There's one in South Beach and Newport. I believe that there's also one in Depot Bay. And you know, it is a useful tool for developing urban areas. I mean, you can look at some of the changes that have happened in South Beach. And I know some of their goals are to create more mixed-use commercial residential areas. They've bought property. Quite a bit of the property that's there in South Beach is owned by the Urban Renewal District. They plan on building a mixed commercial residential area right there where the South Beach Church is currently located. So that's just some of examples of kind of how this funding mechanism is
yeah.
used.
Yeah, and ultimately, I think from the commissioner's perspective, we want to make sure that we're using tax dollars wisely and that we're developing assets that are needed in the community. And, you know, these are the types of conversations that happen at county commissioners meetings, and you can find those through our website and participate if you want to.
All right, Commissioner Miller, we are out of time. I want to thank everybody out there for joining us for County Connections today, and we will be talking to you again sometime soon. Have a great one.
Okay, thank you.